welcome back to the second part of Alaska Gold Trails, folks. I'm your host, Jim Madonna. I'm here with Roy Larson today, talking about his most memorable moments as he traveled into Alaska and made his home here. I know a lot of you ask, where do the miners sell their gold? Everyone knows they sell it to the precious metals people. Oxford Assaying and Refining, located at 208 Wendell Street. In addition, Oxford also has some fascinating precious metal gift and investment ideas. Take a look at these. The silver Alaska coin and the Oxford Alaska bar. These 1 ounce pure silver pieces are a unique way to share Alaska with friends and family for under $10 each. And here's a super idea. 1 ounce pure silver rounds priced at 95 cents over the daily quote. You know what the daily quote is. The number is 452-7858 for Oxford's daily quote line. That's where you get, of course, the daily prices of gold, silver, and platinum. And Oxford also has the 1987 American Gold Eagles that are available in four sizes to choose from, starting at $65 for the 1/10 ounce coin. Add a 14-karat gold bezel with a chain and you have the perfect gift for that someone special. Gold coins and ingots from around the world, available in all sizes starting at $25 a piece. And don't forget, genuine Alaskan gold nuggets are truly the Alaskan gift. Stop by and view their fine selection starting at just $28.50 a penny weight. Give gifts of lasting value that will long be remembered. Give gold and silver. Now available from your precious metals people, Oxford Assaying and Refining, 208 Wendell Street, 456-3967. That's 456-3967. And don't forget their special precious metals quote line, 452-7858, for daily prices on gold, silver, and platinum. The quote line, once again, is 452-7858. You never know when that might not be good for dinner for two. Well, we're back here with Roy Larson. Roy, after you arrived in Fairbanks, what was your goal?
Well, the goal was to make enough money to live on the next, through the next winter. I landed here with $20 in my pocket, and it was, that lasted me from the 20th of May until the 5th of, or the 20th of April till the 5th of May, when I went out on a ditch break for the FE company up at Faith Creek on the Chattanooga Highway, on the up more towards Circle.
And was that the Davidson Ditch?
That was the Davidson Ditch.
Uh-huh. Tell us a little bit about that, Roy.
Well, the Davidson Ditch was put in, I believe, about 1926, and it was put in by with horse-drawn slip scrapers and horse-drawn graders. And it was something like 85 miles long and was more or less one of the, I think, wonders of the world at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, the water was used for thawing the ground in front of the dredges and for sluicing off the overburden, the muck, out in the Chattanooga area. It wasn't near as thick as it was in Nestor, but we had it up to, I think, around 30 feet over on Fish Creek. We had it that high.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd sluice off the muck and let it run down the river, and then they'd go in on the gravel and drive the cold water thaw points down with the water from the Davidson Ditch, and that mm-hmm. thawed the ground so the dredge could operate.
Right, I think we've got a call here. Let me just see what we have. Hi, you're on the air. This is Alaska Gold Trails. Can I help you?
Hi, is this where I can turn in a report about a lost dog?
We'd love to have a report about a lost dog. What have you got?
Well, we've lost our little, I think he's a cockapoo.
We don't love it. We're sorry to hear about
it. I know.
We'll be happy to help you out. Okay, he's a cockapoo.
Yes, he's gray in color, kind of a shaggy, cute little face, has a black collar on, but can't see the collar, and his tag is not on the collar. University West area.
in the University West area, a cockapoo, Shaggy. And we want to alert the folks out at University West about this dog. This could be a famous gold hound, couldn't it?
Well, he's supposed to be leaving on a trip in 2 days, and it's real important we get him back so we can take him in for his health certificate.
Okay. To all you folks out there at University West, keep your eye out for a shaggy little cockapoo, and we got to have that dog back in a hurry. How's that? Anything else you'd like to say?
Well, if you find him, please call 479-3648.
479-3648.
Or 452-5186.
452-5186.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
He's been with us for 8 years. We really want him back.
Okay. Real good. Hope things turn out for you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Roy, this water then from... You went to work on a washout on the Davidson Ditch then.
Yes.
And then what... how long did you work for the FE company, or was that a summertime... work into a summertime job, or just for that short period of time?
Well, that was just a short period of time. Our boss was Leonard Seppala, who made the famous run to Nome with the serum.
Oh, yeah.
And then from there, we went down to Chattanooga and drove points for the summer.
I'd like for you to tell us about how they drew points right after a couple of these messages, Roy. It's bonanza time. Robiette Tip Top Chevrolet says all 1987 trucks must go. They are having a giant year-end truck sale. For power, performance, and comfort, you can't beat a Chevrolet truck. The 6 years, 60,000 miles limited warranty is standard. Come in, look them over, take a test drive. No reasonable offer will be refused. Tip Top Chevrolet has what you want, whether gas or diesel, two or four-wheel drive, small, comfortable, and sporty, or full-size work truck. Robbie is ready to deal. For the best selection and the best prices, stop in today at Tip Top Chevrolet, 1916 South Cushman. Listen to the components on these sale models. The S10 Blazers have a powerful 2.8-liter V6 with electronic fuel injection, a smooth ride with fully independent front suspension is standard. Bucket seats in front are standard on the S10s. All units in stock have four-wheel drive. The S10 pickups have heavy-duty construction, heavy-duty payload package, full independent front suspension, and a hot wax coating on the entire frame helps fight effects of road salt and dirt. And on the full-size pickups, electronic fuel injection is now standard. Vortec V6 engine, one of the most powerful standard engines in a half-ton pickup. Fleet side or step-side boxes are available. A choice of crew cab or bonus cab is also available, and your option of gas or diesel power. That's Tip Top Chevrolet, 1916 Cushman Street, phone 452-8211. And don't forget, during this festive season, stay safe with buckling up with Tip Top Chevrolet.
When you think health and beauty aids, think Safeway. That's a money-saving idea. Two of our great features this week are Colgate toothpaste. Choose the tube or pump, just $1.29. And Clairol shampoo or conditioner. A fine super saver at $1.29 for the 15-ounce size. We have just about everything else you could need, too. Hairspray, aspirin, cold medicines. Some of our larger Safeway stores now have pharmacies to make up prescriptions for you. There's no doubt about it. When you think health and beauty aids, think Safeway.
A word about transmission tune-up specials from J&L Transmission. Please, please, take in your transmission to J&L Transmission today. For only $25, you can have your transmission inspected and tuned up. That's right, for only $25, and only until the end of the week, which is also the end of the year, which is also the end of my job if this ad doesn't work. Don't wait until tomorrow. Go today. It's only $25. J&L Transmission on Holt Road, just off Van Horn. Look for the bright yellow sign. Please?
How would you like to strike it rich? Well, that's exactly what will happen if you travel out to 16-mile Chena Hot Springs Road and dine at Two Rivers Lodge. What an evening you'll have, an enchanting log structure with frontier decor, complete with a solarium overlooking a beautiful tree-bordered lake. What a pleasant setting for your dining pleasure. If you enjoy interesting new tastes, the menu alone will be exciting. Their appetizers include such delicacies as shrimp cocktail, stuffed mushroom caps, And, of course, the one I enjoy, hot and spicy chicken. Give it a try. I guarantee you you'll love it. There's a complete list of main dishes, including veal plates and the freshest of seafood plates. Also chicken, and, of course, we don't want to overlook the pleasures of steaks. And for dessert, my favorite, grapefruit pie, a fluffy body with bits of grapefruit spread throughout to add a delightful, tangy taste. Drinks, they have anything you might want, and perhaps some you have never heard of. And don't forget, Two Rivers Special Coconut Brownie. That's Two Rivers Lodge, located at 16 Mile Chena Hot Springs Road. For reservations, phone 488-6815. Once again, for reservations, the number is 488-6815. And by the way, tell Stasha and Don Jim on Alaska Gold Trails sent you out. Roy, to get back to this mining, tell me, you went to work on the thaw field. Now, was that following the time that the Davidson ditch washed out? Just following that, you went to work on Driving Point?
Yes.
And tell us about Driving Point, if you would.
Well, Driving Points is a real nice little easy job. They say it's easy money in Alaska. You have about a 20-pound hammer that slides up and down a pipe and pound it down against a clamp that also weighs about 20 pounds. And then you twist the pipe and stay there until it goes down, and when it stops moving, you move on to the next one. You have a line of about 20 of them, and you just go over and over and over, and as the water comes down through the pipe, why, it just thaws out the ground and lets the pipe go on a little deeper. And the if you run into a ice lens down in there somewhere, why, all the ground disappears from around the pipe, and you walk out there on planks, and Lord knows how deep the water is, and you still drive these points down until you get to bedrock. And that's the way they prepared the ground for in front of all the dredges, and Esther and Goldstream and Fox, and over in Chattanooga, and then again over on Fish Creek and Fairbanks Creek.
How many thaw points did you have control of, Roy?
We had about 20 in each line, and we were well paid. We got 79 cents an hour. We worked 10 hours a day. Our board and room cost us $45, and if a restaurant said now that all you can eat, you would get about half as much as what we got on the table, but we cleaned it up.
I see. And you lived right there in the camp then, eh?
Yes, we lived in the old camp that's up on the hill there at Chattanooga. The camp is still there, and it's being used as a tourist attraction nowadays.
Well, how many people generally worked in these thaw fields then?
We had probably about 50 out there. Out around Esther, they had over 200 of them. And when I was over on Fairbanks Creek the next year, we had, I was on the bull gang there. We had about 25 in the camp there.
Well, how many fields did they have going at that time, Roy?
They had, they had dredge 10 and dredge 6 out at Esther. They had the Goldstream dredge, the Fox dredge. And they had one up on the above Gillum, or not Gillum, but almost up where the Pedro Monument is.
Yeah.
And that was just a little tiny dredge. And then over at Chattanooga, they had the big dredge, and at Clary they had another. The Chattanooga dredge was a 10 cubic foot bucket, and the one at Clary was a 5 foot cubic foot bucket.
In terms of cubic feet, like a 10 cubic foot bucket, how many cubic yards a day in a 24 hour period could that particular dredge dig? Do you have any idea on that?
No, I don't have any idea.
They processed a lot of gravel, didn't they?
They sure did.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And how deep did they generally dig?
in Roy?
The Chattanooga dredge went down about 120 feet. And the other dredges didn't go that deep except the one at Cripple Creek, the big dredge out there. It was also a 10 cubic foot dredge, but it was had more processing machinery on it than any dredge in the world at that time, because at Cripple Creek they had a clay that was gummy and the gold would stick to it and go right out over the back of the dredge and the tailing pile. In fact, they dredged the same ground out of Cripple three times.
Hmm. And it was profitable all three times.
Yes.
Then? Uh-huh. Did you ever work right on the dredge, or was it mostly in the thaw fields, Roy?
The only time I got on the dredge, I got on one time to help clean up on the at the one of the dredges.
Yeah, I guess that was kind of an interesting experience for you, the cleanup procedure.
Sure, they had people there to be sure that we just stayed honest and never saw any gold.
I see. Okay. Look, Roy, I want to find out what you did after that summer's activity on the thaw fields and in the dredging mining in the Fairbanks area right after a couple of messages and Paul Harvey's rest of the story. Prime Beef of Fairbanks in the Washington Plaza Mall has the freshest meat and seafood in town at fantastic prices with special savings this week. Oh, you want to have some shopping fun, folks? They have a meat artist that sculpts their ground pork into little piggy faces to make shopping there even more fun. There's a difference in meat, and if you've been making do with the meat you can buy from the same place where you buy your diapers, cleaning supplies, and dog food, why not do yourself a favor and go to the place that specializes in meat, and that's Prime Beef of Fairbanks, where the friendly professional meat cutters will help you select the best cuts and even give you some tips on how to prepare them to retain their succulent flavor. With prices like those on fine quality meats, it's well worth the stop. Prime Beef of Fairbanks in the Washington Plaza Mall off Airport Way. Doesn't your family deserve the best?
The one you call on at home or on the go, the one who's always there around the clock, you know.
The one you call on when Alaska says hello.
Alaska, Alaska, the one you call on.
Hello, Americans. I'm Paul Harvey. You know what the news is. In a minute, you're going to hear the rest of the story.
This is Mary Tyler Moore. For over 16 years, the Juvenile Diabetes Foundation has been funding important diabetes research. Right now, we are funding research work on transplanting insulin-producing cells, experimental work with medications that may someday prevent diabetes. For over 16 years, we've been funding research with one goal, a cure. The Juvenile Diabetes Foundation. With your help, we will be known as the people who cure diabetes. Contact your local chapter.
Hey, you might get the same amount of insurance that you now have for less money. Drop off your current homeowner's policy at the Allstate booth at Sears or at any neighborhood Allstate office near you. The Allstate agent can tell you if there's a way to save you money or to get more coverage for the same money. You're in good hands with Allstate.
Sears Financial Network.
Allstate Insurance Company of Northbrook, Illinois is a member of the Sears Financial Network. Now, the rest of the story. The entire crew of the British fishing trawler Pickering just up and quit. I mean all of them all at once. The Pickering was in port one day, and off onto the dock walked her crew, never ever, they said, to return. Well, the skipper, Derek Gates, did not have to ask why. The problem, as well he knew, was one of the crew, a fellow the others called Ned. Actually, Ned never told his real name. That's just what he went by, and according to the antiquated colloquialism full of the old Ned, the nickname was certainly an appropriate one, because Ned was a chronic troublemaker. Thought he was being funny, I suppose. And yet one could have scoured the seven seas and never found a more irritating seaman with whom to sail. They're still talking about Ned's first tour of duty on the Pickering, about his first practical joke. The pilot was watching the radar screen one night when suddenly everything went haywire, everything. At first it looked like an ocean full of icebergs dead ahead. Instead it was Ned. Now mind you, nobody ever actually caught him tampering with the equipment. Nobody ever really caught him in the act. In fact, no one even suspected Ned was behind that snafu until the radar went on the blink the next night at the same time. And the next night. And the next night. And the one after that. They also blame Ned for a prank involving the steering. The boat would just start going in circles for no apparent reason at all. And the crew still can't figure out how Ned rigged the rudder to make it do that. Just go in circles. After a while, the practical jokes grew increasingly annoying. For example, the crew would all be fast asleep when Ned, they said, would flick the lights on and run. And there were cold evenings when Ned somehow tinkered with the heating system, made the cabins get colder and colder. Even as his shipmates turned up the heat, the cabins got colder and colder. But this is the rest of the story. When the crew of the Pickering suddenly began collecting state unemployment, when they all quit, British officials became curious. British officials investigated, and they learned about the tedious pranks of crewman Ned, and disciplinary action was called for. Ned was drummed out of the service, fired from his duty on the trawler, and now, December 1987, the Pickering crew is back aboard, happy as ever. But they still relate the stories to one another, particularly to anyone new in the crew, about Ned and his terribly tiresome sense of humor. They recall the day they all quit. And the day after that, when an Anglican priest was called aboard to sprinkle holy water throughout the vessel, and it was he, the priest, who commanded Ned to depart. For the priest, prior to his visit, had traced the history of the Pickering to its service in Ireland, when a crew member had been lost overboard and his body never recovered. Now, you can believe what you will of the trawler's later troubles and the way they suddenly stopped, but the fact remains that all the while, Ned was dead. And now you know the rest of the story.
Spend your New Year's Eve at the North Country Inn in Fox. Enjoy the 1950s floor show, sing along with Stacy, and dance to the great tunes of the 50s. And then bring in the new year with an old-fashioned sing-along around the fireplace. Party favors, too, and no cover charge on New Year's Eve. So take the time to make your New Year's Eve celebration something special at the North Country Inn. Call now for reservations, 457-8289. That's the North Country Inn in Fox.
Sharp Faxfo 210 transmits documents over phone lines to another machine in only 18 seconds. Prints without ink on thermal paper, so there's no messy cartridge to change. This machine is easy to operate. It automatically dials up to 87 numbers for you and will automatically feed up to 10 documents, so you don't have to stand there and feed them through. This Sharp Faxfo 210 is compatible with the other three types of fax machines. It's small in size, so it fits easily on a desktop. This fax machine has polling function, so you can have telephone charges billed to you or the receiver, sort of like calling collect. The polling can be set with its built-in timer so you can take advantage of the lower telephone rates during the late night, early morning. It's also it also features automatic contrast control, so you know you will have your clear documents transmitted. It prints on a roll of paper, so if you transmit or receive a half-page document, that's all it uses is a half page. You can find this Sharp Faxfo 210 at Alaska Copiers, International Way off Van Horn Road. Call 452-6569. That's 452-6569. Well, folks, we're here talking to Roy Larson, and if you have a question for Roy, you can give us a call at 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Roy, what happened after your activity in the thaw fields that first summer here? Did you what did you do after that?
Well, I went to school for the winter, and the next summer I worked out to Fish Creek and Fairbanks Creek, and then went back to school the next winter until the end of the year. Then I quit and went to work in the FE Company warehouse and started to raise a family and buy a house. And bought a house. The terms at that time were you move into the house and 15 days later you pay $75 down, and from there on you pay $75 a month at 6% interest.
Did you finish your education at the University of Alaska?
No, I never did finish.
Mm-hmm.
I got sidetracked and tried civil engineering for a while, but I couldn't make my field information or calculus problems work in calculus, and so I got disgusted from that angle, and years later my calculus prof came in the store and wanted to know why I didn't finish, and I told him, and he said, well, that's why I was teaching, because I couldn't either.
Who was the president of the university in those days, Roy?
Well, Judge Bunnell was president.
He was.
And I
right.
was there.
Uh-huh.
I had one law class from him, business law.
I see. And he has a building named after him there on the University of Alaska
yes,
campus now, doesn't he?
He's the father of the university.
Mm-hmm. And so following that period of time, you then bought your house. And what did you do for employment after the university experience?
Well, I've worked for a couple of years in the FE warehouse, sending out material to the different dredges and crews all over, and then I quit that and went to work for Express Company with Larry Reed and Ernie Shermer, and Ernie Shermer and Larry Reed broke up. Why? I went in partners with Larry Reed, his equipment and my work, and we did good for a year or so, and then Larry had taken trucks down to Edmonton, and he hauled the pipe and the camp equipment and things for the original Canal pipeline. Came up from Skaggs and Skagway and from the Canal pipe or Canal oil fields in Canada and into Eielson and Ladd Field, it was at that time.
What was that year again?
About 1942.
Uh-huh.
And when he got back from that, he sold his trucks to Gezi finally, and who was another, it was Alaska Freight Lines at that time. And Larry had a lot of cash on hand and decided we should have a ready-mix concrete plant in town, so he went to the shipyards in Los Angeles and bought a mixer truck and a hoist outfit bucket line for hoisting gravel and sand up into the tower. And when he was building the warehouse and tower up on 10th Avenue and Fairbanks in back of the high school there, I was doing the express work, and from about 7 o'clock in the morning until 5:30, and then I would eat dinner and take a crew down to the gravel pit down by where the CAA project is and Pike's Landing, and I set up the slack line and the trommel and everything down there to get the gravel prepared for the concrete, and then
I hauled, a little bit different kind of mining is what it was.
Quite a little different. Yeah. And then I hauled the first ready-mix concrete in town to one of the churches and a couple of the houses around town. And then Larry decided that I'd been working too long and that I should have a week's vacation. So the wife and I borrowed a car and we went down to the Donnelly Dome area. The road at that time went around the other side of the dome. It'd been raining all summer down there, and bottom dropped out of the road. The road commission had people working on it and had tractors, and basically the main thing they were doing was hauling people back and forth across the road and from one end of the dome to the other. And so we stopped at a little trapper's cabin there and to wait out the rain and to have the road commission crew in eat their lunch. And the cabin was probably about 8 feet by 10 or maybe 12, which is, you get the wife and me and about four or five, six people on the road commission crew. It was pretty well crowded, but it didn't leak too bad. It had sod roof, and we had canvas up on the inside to let the water run down to the walls instead of on us. And after a week or so, or three, 4 days of that, we decided to see if we couldn't go fishing. We'd heard that Clearwater was a good fishing place. So we went back to the junction and asked the MPs at the checkpoint there that where the Clearwater was, and they said it was down towards Toke somewhere. There should be some kind of a sign. Well, we went down towards Toke, and we never saw a sign until we got to Toke. So we asked the MPs there, and they said, well, they knew there was a Clearwater over towards Gulcana on the cutoff, so we went that way, and it was Clearwater all right, but it wasn't a fishing creek by a long shot. So we stayed there overnight, and then we went on to Gulcana and come back to the dome from the other side, and got there about midnight, and there was no crew working, so I borrowed a road commission tractor and pulled the car across, and taken the tractor back so it was to leave it where I found it, and right in the middle of the road, why it went nose down, clear down over the radiator, and it didn't have the guts to pull itself back out. It was pretty well worn out. It was an old TD-40. And so I had to leave it there, and the road commission guys told me later they just hooked onto it and pulled it off the side of the road and left it, that it was ready to be junked anyway. So, and then we came back, and when we got back to town, why, Larry Reed and I discussed changing my pay situation to where it would be quite a bit less than what I had been getting, and we argued about it for 3-4 days and agreed to disagree. So I quit there, and I had a friend from my hometown of Everett, this Francis Holmstrom, who was Larry Holmstrom's father, and Larry was about 7 years old at that time, and he had a little jewelry store there on just about on First and Cushman between the Pastime Cafe and in the end of the building where the Pastime Bar was there. And of course at that time the bar wasn't there, it was the first hamburger joint in town. And so I got in with him, the deal that he would teach me to make nugget jewelry, and
how to run a jewelry store. I learned how to run a jewelry store and a lot how not to run one, and also how to make jewelry. And as usual, when you go to school, it costs money, so after about a year and a half, I had to quit and go back on the trucks and make enough money to pay my bills.
Following the truck driving experience, then you went back into the jewelry trade?
Yes, I worked. We had a contract. The Gippo truckers got together and had a contract for a year with the Army, hauling down the highway to Big Delta and Tok and Tana Cross and Northway. And they were more or less closing up the camps at that time. And then we, after that, we had kind of a dry spell for a few months. And then Larry Reed got a subcontract from BJL out at Ladd Field to put in the haul of gravel for the road around the back of the airstrip. It started out from where the hospital is and ended up around just coming into the main area on the other end. And my partner and I, we had a little ton and a half Chevrolet cab over dump truck, which we put enough sideboards on to where we could haul 5 yards of gravel. And he would run it in the night and work on it and keep it in good running shape, and I'd run the legs off it in the daytime. And we, in 6 weeks, we cleared $1,600 a piece. And that's what I started with my jewelry store with home in the basement.
So that's how Larson's Jewelry started. I'd like to get back with that in just a few minutes, Roy, right after a couple of messages from our fine sponsors. Fairbanks Handyman Service. Their number is 452-8840. I think Fairbanks Handyman Service explains itself. They've been in business in Fairbanks since 1974. The Fairbanks Handyman Service owner is Jim Kelly. What your husband starts, Jim will finish. Emergency and miscellaneous repairs done 24 hours a day. There is no job too small for Fairbanks Handyman. They will do commercial or residential repairs, from leaky faucets, broken doors, furniture repairs, to windows and yard care. And to get your house or office building ready for winter, they'll do caulking of windows and doors. If your pipes break in the middle of the night, no problem. They can fix that too. Fairbanks Handyman also has plenty of satisfied customers who will be happy to give you references. When you don't know who to call, call Fairbanks Handyman Service. Remember, that's Fairbanks Handyman Service, 452-8840. What your husband starts, we will finish. That's 452-8840 for Fairbanks Handyman Service. B&L Pawn Shop at the corner of Gaffney and Cushman is the most unpredictable variety store in Fairbanks. Now, folks, that's an understatement, and I've said that before. It's more like having a giant garage sale in one room. One-stop shopping will get you everything. Just to give you an idea, let me list a few items. Jewelry, clocks, stereos, headphones, guns, scopes, winches, propane bottles, tools, hats, musical instruments, cameras, TVs, radios, typewriters. The list goes on and on and on. In fact, you can get anything at B&L Pawn. B&L traditionally has offered tremendous savings, but in addition, if you tell Killer you heard it on KFAR, she'll even sweeten the deal. And if you tell her you heard it from Jim on Alaska Gold Trails, she'll even sweeten it more. If your money is a little tight, they'll be happy to help you out. Bring in anything you feel is a value or use, and the folks at B&L will loan you the money to get through to better days. Or if you sell items on consignment, they'll work with you on that too. So if you're looking for anything from snowshoes to diamond rings, see the folks at B&L Pawn, 605 Gaffney. Jim, Bruce, and Killer will be happy to deal. Killer never says no. They'll sell anything but the chandelier, and only then, because it's attached. However, ask Killer, you just never know. That's B&L Pawn, corner of Gaffney and Cushman, 452-6491. Open 9 to 7 Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 on Saturday. Their number once again is 452-6491. And remember, tell Killer you heard it here on Alaska Gold Trails, and she'll sweeten the deal.
If you enjoy the timeless beauty of stained glass, you're going to love this sale. Carol at Stained Glass Crafters is having an after-Christmas store-wide 15% off sale on all supplies in stock. So if the project you have in mind is large or small, you'll find it all at Stained Glass Crafters, 2272 Franklin Street off Goldstream. And by the way, if you tell Carol you heard it on KFAR, she's got a special gift just for you. That's Carol at Stained Glass Crafters, 455-6977.
Import Auto is located at 2201 Judd Street, next to the Jade Shop. Tim Schroeder is there ready to serve you with free estimates, excellence in bodywork, and, of course, insurance estimates. Import Auto Body uses the very finest materials available. Also, they have a unibody frame straightening and alignment machine. Using this latest technology, they simply put your car on the machine, then realign the frame to factory specifications. And keep in mind, folks, this machine is not limited to imports. Factory replacements, you bet, they have them. Window replacements, they can do that too. Restoration, the very finest in Fairbanks. They feature famous, genuine Saab parts, and they have a urethane primer that will make your car like new. Find a deal on a used import that only needs minor repairs and take it to Import Auto Body. They can fix it up for you. Import Auto Body, specializing in quality auto body repairs. They are located at 2201 Judd Street, right next to the Jade Shop. Give Tim a call at 451-8456. That's 451-8456. Roy, I think we were talking about your entrance into the jewelry store business and jewelry fabrication business, if I wasn't mistaken. And so with that money that you got from that truck driving adventure, you began your jewelry store. And what year was that?
That was in September 1946.
September of 1946, roughly 48 years ago.
Not quite that much, no.
Not quite. And where did you start your jewelry store then?
I started in the basement of my house in a little 8x10 room.
An 8x10 room? And where was your house located at that way, at that time?
At 321 Church. It's about a block from the coal bunkers, right straight across country there.
Mm-hmm. Are you still there? Do you still own that?
I still live there, yes.
You still live in that house. And once again, you bought that house the second year you were in Alaska. Is that right?
Yes, in 1942.
In 1942, yeah. And you're still living there. So you started in the basement of your house. What was this? Was it mostly gold work that you were doing? Or?
Yes, I made gold nugget initials, one-inch ones. I made gold nugget initials for every woman in Fairbanks and every woman that they knew outside, I think. For a year, I made nothing but gold nugget initials.
I see.
And then I had to expand and do other things because I was running out of customers. So I started making other gold nugget jewelry.
Roy, I think we got a call here. Let's see if somebody has a question for you here. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'd like to ask Roy if he was drafted for the Army from 1940 or I haven't heard him say anything about it. And how old was he at that time?
Did you hear the question, Roy?
Yes, I did. Okay. I was 25 in 1939. And by the time the draft got up here, I was in the express business. There were basically, there were three of us delivering all the express for the town and for out to the new LAD Air Force Base. That was Leo Schlofeldt, Sig Wold, and myself. And we were required to stay here instead of being the Army. And I also had two children, which deferred it more. We had the setup where they, outside, they kept people from having sugar and tires and a lot of other things. We didn't have any. We didn't. Are we off?
No. Go ahead.
We didn't have. Thought we were off here. We didn't have anything held back up here by
government control except tires. The rest of it, they just didn't ship us anything. They shipped us, you know, so much sugar, so much beef, and when we ran out, we were just out until the ship came in again. So they controlled it out of Seattle instead of individually. And then after I got out of the express business, I was in a older bracket. I was 29, and I was with the two children. I was scheduled to go the next week, and the bunch that went to the railroad station to take off, they got over there and had half of their duffel on the train when the word came through that they no longer wanted them. So I didn't go to the military. However, I had a brother that was real smart and joined the Navy in the first part of 1939 for 5 years. And he was in Pearl Harbor with his destroyer. His destroyer was sunk, but he was on shore, and he didn't get back to the West Coast for 2.5 years. He was in all the South Sea battles.
I think you've got another call here, Roy. Hello, you're on the air. This is Alaska Gold Trails. You have a question for Roy?
Yeah, does he have any good bear stories?
Do you have any good bear stories, Roy?
No, I don't.
Okay, thanks.
Roy, go ahead with the story of the development of Larson's jewelry.
I did fairly well, but I also had lots of time on my hands with the store in the basement. And we had the flood in 1948, which was not a flood until it, to most people in town, until it backed up along the slough by the it's Arctic Bowl. It was Pan American Hangar at that time. When the water backed up that slough and started going down across town, well, all of a sudden it was an emergency. But over at our house, we had the basement full where my shop was. We moved out in less than half an hour. And my neighbor was real good. He came down and helped, and there was only about 2 feet of water in the basement, and he decided that the motor for the pump should be taken upstairs, so he disconnected it, the hot wires from it, standing in water. Why he wasn't electrocuted, I don't know, but we got the motor out, and then when the flood went down, why, I had one lady working for me, and she would take all the sweepings and everything from the benches and the floor and all the mud out of the basement out in the front yard there, and she would pan it out in a tub of water. And she had all kinds of things to go. But, then I built onto the house in 1949, and we had the shop in the end of the house until 59, when we bought the store, or the property where the store is now, remodeled a couple houses, and tore one down, and that was where we're at now, except after the flood in 67, we had to build more on. We built the concrete part on the back end of it. And right now, I'm secretary of the Pioneers, and I'm sort of retired doing computer work, but it's the Pioneers are having their installation this next Monday night at the Eagles Hall in the basement, and the main object of the Pioneer organization is to collect and preserve the artifacts and old pictures and papers and stories about Alaska, and it's very much appreciated if anybody would connect us with anything.
Roy, just in line with the Pioneers, do you have anybody that you might suggest for Alaska Gold Trails as a guest on our show, a pioneer that might give us some valuable historical information since you're so tightly involved with the Pioneers? Maybe somebody, I think we talked one time and you had a suggestion that perhaps Carl Heflinger, who was somebody like that? You think Carl would be a good guest for the show?
Carl would be a real good guest. He's probably the most knowledgeable man alive for as far as drift mining is concerned. Another real interesting one would be Gene Rogge, who was at the Sourdough Express for many, many years until he retired. They're probably the most colorful that I can think of just offhand.
I see. And finally, I'd like to let the people know out there that this is Jim Madonna with Alaska Gold Trails. And, of course, I want to thank our guest, Roy Larson, today for sharing his time with us. Thank you, Roy. And I know that we've all learned a great deal about Alaska and the last frontier from you. And I also want to thank the listening audience for taking part in the program. I want to thank the folks who played our contest and gave us the phone calls. And I want to all say that we will be back at our regular time next week at 1 p.m. Friday afternoon. Our guest will be Stu Rothman from the Lens Unlimited. It's been fun, folks. This is Jim Madonna on Alaska Gold Trails. Until next week and next year, happy prospecting.